Dave Moore on Today FM.
Thank you for being so nice and coming back the second day, because
guess what? I never left. I was actually in the cupboard
for
the last 3 years.
That's where you were. I was wondering about the smell. Yeah, makes perfect sense now.
Yeah, you really should put in plumbing.
So yesterday, Ian Dempsey, if you don't know, he smashed open the door and made Christmas happen in the studio for Mayhem. But it was just as my interview with Dermot started, so that was unfortunate.
How rude.
How rude is right.
Weirdly, that outfit suited Ian Dempsey.
It did. I liked how pointy his hat was.
He was very committed to it. Very erect.
It was very erect, yes.
I tell you, for a man of his age now, very impressive.
He's doing well. So we were starting to talk about Museum of Me, which is a new TV show that you are presenting on RT1, 8:30 Sunday night, and it's going to run for the next, 6 weeks?
6 weeks, yes. And then it's going to be recommissioned. I'm just putting it out there. Now, the 8:30 slot is a very important one because, obviously, it's the Glen Rowe slot. That's the one that we used to use when we didn't have proper Salpidine, you know, to take away the fear. We used to use half-hour dramas.
That's right.
And half-hour TV shows. So, and get this, as life goes full circle, one of the guests on the show, talking me through her favourite objects that are dear to her, is Mary McAvoy, a.k.a. Biddy from Glenroe, back at 8:30.
Stop,
in her rightful home.
Now, yesterday, when you were kicked out of the show by Ian Dempsey, a listener texted in and said they thought that you had made up this TV show called Museum of Me because you were talking about me. But it's not about you. You are the facilitator for people to go back into their lives and talk about themselves through all of these items. So give me the elevator pitch of this show.
This show, it is a show about people told through the things that they've kept. Now, I want everybody listening, and including you guys, to think about the stuff in your house that is very dear to you. Now, we have a lot of things, a lot of stuff, but how much of it actually do we care about? If there was a fire, what would you go back for? Is it a precious old photo, maybe of a parent, a grandparent, a relative, a special time in your life? Mm. Is it a certificate, some kind of achievement? Is it connected to your work? You know, is it a concert ticket from when you were a kid?
I would let all that stuff burn.
Yeah.
What I would run back in for is the very first real guitar I ever bought. It's a Hamer Explorer, custom USA Hamer Explorer. It hangs the highest on all the guitars in my house so that my kids can't get there. Unfortunately, my eldest fella is now 2 inches taller than me, so he can reach up there, but no one else can. And
He is a lanky bean sprout.
Most certainly is. But that to me is the most important item, I guess, in my house, because it kind of signifies my love of music and everything that my whole life and career has been based around music, whether it was what I did before radio and now in radio, obviously playing songs and doing all that stuff as well. So yeah, I think that to me would probably be the item I'd grab.
That's very interesting, because one of the guests on the series is Steve Garrigan from Codaline.
Oh yeah.
And one of his precious objects was his very first piano that he learned as a kid on. And it's the most humble looking thing.
Sure.
But he discovered a whole history to this piano once we had a look at it. And it's the piano that he wrote, those big songs on.
Wow.
And it's so special to him, but same way, very similar. That was his doorway into music.
Yeah.
And so it had just been kind of sitting there, unplayable, essentially, because it was so old. So
you mentioned Biddy, Mary McAvoy. You mentioned Brian Dobson, you told us was the first person before you got rudely interrupted yesterday.
He's going to be on Sunday. Like, if you're trying to work out what the show is, right? Here's my proper elevator pitch.
Go.
It's a cross between Who Do You Think You Are?
Okay.
Antiques Roadshow.
All right.
And The Repair Shop.
Oh my God, three of my favourite shows.
I know. Yeah. I love those shows too. And like, you know, I have a very useless archaeology degree.
You do.
And I've always been drawn to old things with a story. Like yourself.
That's why he hangs out with me, lads. Come on. The gags never stop.
Where did you dig him up from?
Can you repair all of me, please, on season 2? Okay, recommission it.
We gave him a new hip, a new head.
And several Botox injections. Look at him.
But yeah, so that's the show. But you know, I remember when I was doing archaeology, and just when all my life, I haven't been interested in the big temples, the big statues, the big historical figures. It's been these small everyday things, you know.
That make you realize that life went on. It wasn't about temples and pyramids or whatever. It was like, coins and necklaces and rings and...
Yeah, just even, you know, I remember finding a thumbprint on a piece of pottery, you know, that we dug up. And I was just mesmerized by it. I was like, oh my God, that's the print of the guy who made this pot. And he didn't think anything of it, but it's frozen in
time.
Are
the people more interesting than you? Because a thumbprint on a pot, I think, would make a pretty bad TV show.
They are. We've got Brian Dobson in there, who, by the way, like, one of the great things about the show is we go into their houses. Okay.
Oh, so we also get to see behind the doors. It's like Durabana Celebrity Spaces.
Exactly.
Amazing.
So as Irish people, we just want to see inside your gaff.
So much,
you know,
so.
Net curtains ruin this country, you know. So we get to go into Brian Dobson's house. Is exactly as you would like, very tasteful.
Okay.
Portobello in Dublin, old, you know, Georgian house.
Really tidy.
But here's the thing, like, he's a tidy freak. I think he put on the dishwasher about 8 times while
you were
filming, and he practically followed us around with a dustbuster.
Yes,
except
Brian Dobson.
This was after he gave us a box of really flaky pastries, and it's like, if you don't want us to make a mess, why are you giving us messy crust?
Maybe he likes the challenge. Maybe it's not the tidiness, it's the challenge of vacuuming up things before they hit the ground.
And action. There goes Brian with the dustbuster again.
Okay, who else then? You mentioned Steve Garrigan, you mentioned Mary McAvoy. Who else is there?
Yeah, a comedian, Emma Doran is in there.
Oh, yeah, I love Emma.
And Pat Short.
Brilliant.
Like, Pat Short takes us to his secret warehouse where he's got every single thing he has ever used on or near a stage.
You're kidding.
Since the 80s.
No way. I can't be doing that, lads.
You know what? It's lovely. Maya Dunphy is episode 2. And Maya's just fantastic. I think you just see... Like, it's very emotional. It's an emotional show.
Okay.
Like, be prepared for a little bit of the weepies.
Okay. Is that agreed at 8:30 on a Sunday? Like, as you said, that's the Glen Rowe slot, the Room to Improve slot. Is weepies okay there?
Oh, of course it is, yeah.
Right.
But it needs to be gentle weepies and then a hug.
Okay, gotcha.
And that's what this show is.
Yeah, often...
It's a weepies, hug.
Okay, well, then that's an elevator pitch that I would sign off on right there. Okay, well, you've got Museum of Me, hosted by the wonderful Dermot Whelan, 8:30, Sundays on RT1.
I was with the director, Simon, last night,
yeah.
And he said, I've got something to show you. You'll be really excited about it. And obviously, doing any of these kinds of shows, as a presenter, you're filmed walking places.
Of course.
He said, I've taken every single bit of your walking from the entire series and I've put it together to music.
Yes!
So
you
maybe that could be on the DVD extras.
Yeah, that's a TV show I wouldn't sign up on. Hey, Mountaineer. Like,
Mountaineer.
You've mountaineered twice now. You did Kilimanjaro. That wasn't enough for you, says you. You just said you wanted to do Everest.
I'm a trekker, okay?
Okay. Nanu.
I just made
the Vulcan sign at him as well, just to annoy him, because I said Morgan Mindy's.
Stop getting space wrong. A huge caveat to me talking about, I happen to do the Everest Base Camp trek, okay?
Yeah.
At the very same time as a bunch of very brave Irish climbers, including Mayo's Padraig O'Hara.
We had him on the show this week.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Hero, legend, sound lad. In fact, we were texting each other while we were there at the
Brilliant.
Same time. And they went to the very top of Everest.
They did.
So can I just put a giant caveat saying, I am not comparing myself to these guys.
No, you're not.
Like, what I did was trek to the beginning of their real journey.
You did, but at the same time, irrespective of how incredible they are, and listen, the first Irish, you know, led group to get up there in 20 years, they are absolutely amazing. Yes, we've covered that. However, it's no easy trek. It's not like I'm heading up the Wicklow Mountains, there's a Sally Gap here, I'll be back in a few minutes. Like,
well, that's what you think it is before you go.
Right.
And you're like, I'm just going to be looking at colourful prayer flags and doing selfies and having the time.
Oh,
and
dear. No, you're not.
You realise, I'm doing all of that, but I want to poo my pants at the same time.
Yeah, what's
because
the story?
All the water is filthy.
This is the thing, though. Well, people don't realise the reality of this. First of all, I spoke to Patrick about this as well, but you give me your impression of altitude. Why is it so hard to go up?
Because your body goes, what's happening?
Because there's no oxygen.
Well,
or less oxygen.
There's less oxygen. So your brain is very clever and it's constantly scanning your bodily systems and it picks up fairly...
The poor thing. Jesus Christ. That's why it's so
really,
old.
Dave?
Constantly going
another
off.
Another cream cake?
Yes, bodily scan.
Oh,
yes,
great.
There is.
Washing it down with a Coke Zero. Fantastic. But your body picks up, hey, hey, there's way too much carbon dioxide here and kind of not enough oxygen. So we should just be stressed, okay?
Okay, right, right.
So your stress response gets fired and you kind of live with that. And it's very hard to shake off any bugs. Obviously, there's a lot of hygiene-y things, you know, that you got to watch out for. You rub the skin off your hands with hand sanitizer.
Hand sanitizer, yeah.
And, you know, altitude can cause headaches, nausea, just confusion, anxiety, all these kinds of things. So,
but then added to that then is the struggle that people have with food and water, because as you go higher, like, so first of all, this is Nepal. It's not like, you know, downtown New York. Like it's a different world you're going to. But then as you get up the mountain,
way more yaks than Manhattan, I found.
But as you go up the mountain, is it right? Am I right in thinking that the kind of the stringency, the adherence to health and safety, the investment of money, the reality of everyone has to use this one shack because that's all there is on this. Like you're narrowing your choices the higher you go.
Exactly. Right. And plus, you got to think about when you live at these heights, you know, when you're living at 5,000 meters, there's no roads.
No.
Like there's stuff can come in by helicopter or it can come up on the back of an animal or a human. And right. that's all you see. So, you know, things like proper plumbing are building, you know, walls that actually join together.
Okay,
it's
right.
Harder.
Imagine.
It's
yeah.
just hard.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And who wants, you know, less people want to live up there because it's hard. You know, I always think when you see all the animals are gone and there's no bird singing, you're thinking, maybe we should go down. You know, yeah. they might be onto something.
How high did you go? What was the number? How many meters?
I forget now. 5,380 something like that.
Like that's 5.5 kilometers up in the sky. Like that's ridiculous.
Yeah, I think it's about 17,000 feet.
Right.
So if you're curious, Kilimanjaro, which is another one of these treks, it's a little bit higher. 5,985.
And did you notice that difference, or does it just it's a different challenge?
It's a different challenge because with Kilimanjaro you go up quicker and you spend less time at altitude.
Okay.
So you are higher, but it's for a much shorter period of
right.
time. Everest, you're longer on the mountain, higher, longer period at altitude. So that altitude has a more opportunity to be kind of chipping away at you. So on average, there will always be people in the group who don't make it to the top of all of these treks.
Right.
So one guy got very sick, a lovely UK guy who was in our group, and he just had an awful stomach bug and he had to go down.
Right.
And then another chap, his pal actually, got to the top and then shortly afterwards just felt so bad from altitude. He was like, get me a helicopter. And he said to me afterwards, he said, well, we met up back in Kathmandu. He says, I'm not lying to you, Dermot. If I died in my sleep, in my sleeping bag, I wouldn't have been surprised.
Amazing.
He said it's so matter of fact.
I'll tell you what, you would have, because he would have been dead. That's unbelievable.
But look, actually, can I just say, if you are curious about going on one of these treks, if you think,
I'm very much not, but I'm sure someone is.
No, you wouldn't.
No.
But some people are. It is an incredible thing to do. It's a great way to test yourself, see what you're made of, but also see parts of the world that are just phenomenal. Mm. If you want to get a window into what it's like, my Mindful podcast, this week's episode,
brilliant,
looks at Kilimanjaro and Everest and does a kind of a comparison and everything you need to know from toilets to altitude and everything else.
You've known me for 25 years. How do you think I would fare on the mountain?
Like, I don't know, Kathmandu is about at the height, you know, is already at,
that'd
1,000 metres. I think you'd be struggling there.
Yeah. 5,300 metres up.
But like, you have to walk so far.
Yeah, that's the problem.
You wouldn't even do that. Do you remember, Maria, like the only time we'd known Dave for like 20 years and then we saw him, remember we were all running for a flight. Was it Australia were going to?
Yeah.
And we're all running for the flight, running to the gate, and we're all running, and me and Rhea are beside each other. And we were like, oh my God, this is the first time we've ever seen Dave run. And we're like, oh yeah, I hope we get our flight. Forget the flight, Dave's running. So,
and I never did it again.
Like, these trips are all about getting out of your comfort zone, and you're all about getting back in.
So I'm bedding down in my comfort zone for the winter, snuggling down like a badger in a set, lads. That's me in my comfort zone.
You know those cameras they put into like badger sets? And you just see
night vision sniffing the air. No, stay with him. It's too cold. Sign me up for that one, lads. Okay, don't forget Museum of Me, 8:30 on Sundays on RT1. Dermot Whelan, thank you very much for coming in. You're a kind man for coming in a second day in a row. I do appreciate it.
Yeah, you're really making me work for this one, aren't you?
Fair play to you.
Dave Moore on Today FM.